You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Greg Lewis. Greg, thanks so much for being with me today.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here.
Greg, we're going to talk about your show at Nora Jaime Gallery in the city, New York City. And the title of the show is No Empty Sky, which perhaps seems, you know, clear. The whole exhibit is largely skies that are full of stars, correct? Is that the kind of meaning of No Empty Sky? There's always kind of millions of stars and kind of universes up there?
Yeah, the title sort of came from, there was a clip about the James Webb telescope that was on 60 Minutes a while back, and one of the scientists talking about kind of the technological advancements of the James Webb telescope talked about how, with the amazing quality of the images coming out, they've realized there's really no empty sky. This idea that even when you look up and see blackness of night, there's really galaxies everywhere. And there was just something about that idea that I felt was very sort of poetic and profound, and that's sort of what led me into that title. And yeah, all of the paintings, with the exception of one, which is kind of it's more of an origin painting, but all of them kind of are depicting kind of imagery of stars in the sky in kind of an abstract way. Yes.
So let's talk about the one that's the origin painting. Which one is that? Is that cosmic dust, or is that like a moth drawn to flame? There's a few that.
There's a painting from 2020 in the exhibition called Like a Moth Drawn to the Flame, and it's an image of fire. And it was kind of at the time during the pandemic, everybody was outside and sitting in front of fires a lot, and I was just painting fires in my studio, and so it kind of came from that. And I was using this sort of acrylic ink wash technique that where the paint kind of bleeds directly into the raw canvas. And I had been using that kind of technique for a while on a couple of different bodies of work, and I was continuing that with that painting. But then I started to introduce other elements like oil paint on top of that and all of these other things. And I just kind of became interested in kind of scaling everything up and kind of the chance elements that were kind of introduced in that painting. And it sort of led me to kind of explore the materials in other ways, and which ultimately led me to kind of thinking about these drip paintings that kind of on one side look almost like up close, like a dirty drop cloth on a studio floor. And when you step back, kind of look like stars kind of like twinkling throughout a galaxy or something. And so Like a Moth Drawn to the Flame is more of a depiction of fire, but I just wanted a counterpoint in the exhibition to kind of not only a visual counterpoint in terms of it's a different kind of warmer color palette and all of that kind of stuff, but also just sort of something to kind of break up the exhibition a little bit. And so I felt like in a way I sort of think about it like a comet coming through the atmosphere, burning up or something, I guess, in the context of the show. But yeah, that's sort of where it came from.
It's so interesting that kind of launch from the pandemic of a fire kind of containing a universe in it that seems to lead to a lot of questions in terms of, or not necessarily questions, but research in terms of how you approach your work, because we're talking about work on paper, but you've also done performance and sculptural works too. So to just like stay with that that origin painting, like a moth drawn to flame, it seems that there's so much in that the flame itself is this transformative object, but yet there was worlds within worlds in there, right? My question is, I guess, about your process, because as you said, there was accidents in there, and then it opened up literally this whole other universe, right? Which is in part the way you work, no matter what the medium. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, I work definitely across medium. Over the last few years, I've definitely been focusing more in the painting space, but I've done video, I've done sculpture, I've done performance. I've kind of crossed media in many bodies of work. But I think a lot of kind of I think the one common thread through all of it kind of falls back into this idea of play or playfulness, and that's kind of at the crux of kind of any project or body of work that I'm working on. And I kind of think about that in terms of You know, what drives me to make art is I don't necessarily come at my work from like an academic standpoint as much as I do kind of this idea of what gets me excited about art is playing around, and this idea of when you're a kid, you're sort of feeling your way through the world through this idea of play. You don't really know where you're going, you don't really know what you're looking for, but you're sort of kind of physically navigating it through play. And it's something that I like to kind of preserve in my work. Obviously, it takes many forms, but that's something that for me is very kind of essential to kind of how I approach any body of work or any project that I'm working on. So yeah, and I think it has a lot to do with physicality on some level too. It's like I'm always kind of trying to figure out how do I get this sort of out of my head where it's kind of ruminating versus like kind of more of like an immediate gesture or a compulsion, like almost like a compulsion to make something and kind of get it through my body onto the canvas or something. So that's sort of those are the kind of things I'm thinking about, like in my practice in my studio when it comes to playfulness. And I think it finds its way through gesture and chance, and I tend to use very saturated colors. So there's a lot of kind of very colorful aspects to a lot of the work that I think has its own kind of playful quality to it in itself.
I
I'm not
like
sure
that.
if that
Yeah.
touches on, yeah.
Yeah. No, that's clear, and that does touch on that. I mean, then there's the playful quality, which I can see in all of the work, and so during the show, which of course is still up and running. There's also this I mean, perhaps existential quality too, right? We're looking into the sky, we're looking
Yeah.
outside of Earth, we're looking at what could potentially be, I don't know, the ultimate answer or something like that. I mean, that's part of how I read it or think must be part of your process. There's no ground here. There's no ground in sky. There's no reference point. Largely, except for Moth to Flame, there's one a bit, and maybe in No Empty Sky we see what looks like a bigger view of the universe. But as in the rest of the show, there's no reference point, right? We don't know exactly what we're looking at. We're looking into something
Yeah.
infinite, right? Something undefinable.
Yeah, and I try to, you know, I love that you say that because I think a big part of this exhibition in particular, even the way we lit the exhibition, we tried to kind of dim the lights and kind of make it have almost a more contemplative quality. It is very playful, but it is also touching on these kind of ideas of the profound or you know, I think one thing I've been thinking about a lot with this work is this sort of play of micro macro, and when you're up close to the painting, like I said, it almost feels like the residue on a studio floor. And when you step back, it kind of opens up into this kind of representation of the universe. And so even that idea of kind of the mundane echoing the profound is something that I like to try to capture somehow in the work. And I feel like with these paintings, that was a big part of kind of where my head was at when I was approaching them. And the kind of washes that the washes are actually on. So I stretch raw canvas just like a normal painting, but I don't gesso it. And I actually the ink washes go into the canvas. They're almost like stains on the canvas. And so those build up over time, and they actually create almost an atmosphere within them. So, you know, even the way the stars or the kind of droplets of ink or paint kind of enter the canvas, you know, it creates this illusion of depth, and I think it really almost kind of I think one goal was to kind of almost create portals that pull you into them, which is somewhat different than the way the fire painting worked. I think the fire painting kind of pops out at you because there's oil on top of it. So there's almost like the way a fire crackles in front of you. There's these little specks of oil that sit on top of the canvas and almost protrude out at you, where the constellation paintings definitely suck you in. They recede, the ink recedes into the canvas, the atmosphere kind of goes into the canvas. And then I sort of start to leave these raw edges or frames around the paintings that I think also kind of open up that kind of portal idea and really kind of pull the viewer in. So there's a few ways I'm kind of trying to kind of create that sort of effect of thinking about the profound in a way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I do know what you mean. So that kind of, it's interesting to talk about that in terms of how, the canvas, the linen is absorbing the paint. You're also trying to paint. I mean, when you talk about that experience, that potentially profound experience of the viewer, it's creating the infinite a bit, isn't it? These are like gazing pieces. You look at them longer and longer, and there's almost, for me, a kind of optical illusion that starts happening. Things come forward or recede. It's creating a kind of visual experience that I don't want to say. I mean, I suppose it does mimic the universe, but of course, it's something quite different because we're looking at a wall, we're looking into a canvas, but it is something very contemplative, I guess is one way to perhaps put it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's definitely something I was thinking about. Even I don't know, it's kind of a funny reference, but I think about those when I was younger, those magic eyes where if you stared at them long enough, like images would kind of pop out. And I think there's certain paintings in the show that kind of have that kind of quality where, like you said, the vibration of the way the ink is done, it kind of pulls you in and pulls you out, and it feels like almost like an optical illusion in terms of the depth at moments. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so let's talk about those different kinds of paintings because there was the painting, which I really love. I mean, I like them all, but there's Midnight in Wonder Valley, which is this huge work and has this sense of night sky and all these layers. And then there's one like Summer Night, which is apparently a little more, or maybe a little bit more like what you're saying. It's now something that's almost entirely abstract. Without the context of the whole series, we might not know that that's a night sky. It has that kind of feeling of it, but it almost seems like we're getting closer and closer. I mean, that's what you were saying, right? Going back and forth between these two sort of visions. Are those the most recent ones that seem to be getting really close and almost completely abstract?
It's actually kind of the opposite. So Summer Nights, which was one of the first kind of paintings after I was doing the fire paintings and started kind of doing these sort of paintings more about the sky. And it was almost thinking about, I grew up in St. Louis, Missouri. It's very humid in the summertime, so you have, fireflies at night. The air is heavy with kind of moisture, and so it's almost ca trying to capture that feeling, I guess, on some more on some level. And it kind of opened up, I guess in a way, it kind of became a bridge to kind of, I think the next painting I did was a painting called Fire in the Skies. And it's kind of a purplish background with these kind of really vibrant neon yellow kind of orbs floating on it. And that was thinking more directly about fireflies and things like that. And so that's sort of how I entered into these sort of constellations in a way. So in a way that painting's actually was kind of a bridge between the fireworks and the full kind of constellation paintings. But I do think there's elements of, as you zoom in on some of these, even the constellation paintings, there's parts of them that are very purely abstract when you look up close at them. But when you step away, they kind of come together as what feels maybe more like a representation of, a constellation or something. But yeah, that Summer Night's painting is definitely leans more into the abstraction. And in terms of Midnight in Wonder Valley, that painting was a little bit later on, and it's Wonder Valley is I go out to Joshua Tree and Palm Springs a lot, and Wonder Valley is kind of a really magical place out by Joshua Tree. And anyone who's been out there knows kind of the impact of the stars at night out there. There's just no light pollution. It almost feels like they're on top of you, like they feel so close to you. And so plus I just love the idea of the name Wonder Valley. And so that's kind of, it's not like none of these paintings are done in plein air or anything like that. They're not meant to represent any kind of specific constellation. They're primarily abstract paintings. But there was something about that experience of having those stars basically feel like they're on top of you out in the desert, that I wanted to kind of capture in a painting, and that's sort of where that title for that work came from.
I like that. I that that you know, was a question I was also going to ask you about where these night skies are. And you're talking about it, of course, with Joshua Tree a little bit because you're based in Brooklyn. That's the irony of it, right? These aren't skies that you see on a regular basis. They're skies that you travel to or see in images.
Yeah, they're not. I mean, to be honest, they're not even. They're skies that I invent. They're not even really right. Depictions in any way of a specific sky. So I'm back and forth in terms of living between Brooklyn and St. Louis, and you know, these are both places with lots of light pollution. I mean, you can see stars in the sky, but you're not kind of getting these in-depth, dense fields of stars. You know what I mean? Where when you're out in Wonder Valley or in Joshua Tree or Palm Springs or wherever, you kind of look up and there's stars everywhere. It kind of goes back to the no empty sky feeling in the sense that, you know, even the idea of space, I think it's kind of funny because you look up and see this blackness and people always thought like, you know, there's all this space out there. But then with this new technology kind of illuminating all these things that we couldn't previously see, you start to realize that that was a bit of an illusion on some level, which is kind of, I think, an interesting proposition too.
It is an interesting idea because there is a whole to talk about just your experience out there. That's mm-hmm. a whole different kind of experience, right? I mean, as you're saying, these are kind of invented. They are, you know, images of your post perceptions of these environments. But it sounds like going to Joshua Tree feeds that somehow, right? That's an experience, or yeah. I mean, what do you take from that? It seems like it's almost. I mean, thinking about it now in the context of all these, that seems like an experience that would not only feed these, but also is something experiential yourself that you take with you beyond the imagery and what's happening there. It must be extraordinary. Yeah. I've never been in a place with that little light pollution where you see this kind of, I've come close to it, but I don't think I've seen anything quite like that.
Yeah. It's just sort of, it's almost like theater in a way. Like, you know what I mean? It's like so dramatic out in a place like that where you can see so many stars and it's just kind of magical. But I think it's also, you know, I think these paintings are almost about a feeling in a sense versus like a representation of a specific kind of thing. And part of that feeling has to do with, you know, the process of painting too. So there's the one element, which is kind of looking up at the stars and thinking about the kind of profound nature of the cosmos and all that kind of stuff. But then there's this also other element that I'm kind of trying to play with at the same time, which is making a painting and the kind of chaos that goes into making a painting. And a lot of these paintings are made through a very kind of watery, chaotic process where I have to give up a lot of control on some level to kind of generate these paintings. And I'm at the whim of the materials and the alchemy of the colors and all of that kind of stuff. And I just loved kind of this idea of overlapping those two things and sort of, you know, this sort of dynamic universe that we live in, and then this sort of like very much grounded dynamic process of making these paintings. I felt like there was some sort of echo happening there in a very kind of, you know, abstract way. But like, I think that's kind of what I was thinking a lot about. It's not necessarily about the time I've spent out there and thinking about that. It's more about how it feels to be out there and how it feels to be all of a sudden the sky feels so close and it doesn't feel like this very distant thing. It feels like it's right there on top of you. You know what I mean? And that's kind of a unique feeling. Like you said, most places with light pollution, you don't really, you know, I mean, there's places more or less you can see more sky, but like it's a very distinct feeling when you're out there. Yeah.
I like that. Yeah, beautiful. That's beautifully put. It's great to talk to you about this. For the listeners, of course, there's links here. The exhibit's running through January 13th of 2024, and more information is here. I want to ask you one more question before we go a little off topic. What are you reading at the moment?
Well, at the moment, I sort of like pop back and forth between things. I'm sort of bad at like kind of starting and finishing, but I've been reading, which kind of leads me to reading a lot of short stories. And so Calvino, his Cosmic Comic stories, I don't know if you've ever read those, but they're very sort of interesting, sort of one part science, one part play, one part I don't know, kind of magical thinking. And they almost feel like hypothetical philosophy kind of thinking sort of stuff, exercises. And I've been reading a lot of those. And there's something I've come back to over the years, so it's not the first time I've read them, but I kind of find myself navigating back towards them often, because there's just something kind of magical about the way he approaches those stories and kind of the again, back to the kind of profound mixed with the playful. Like, I think that's a really hard tightrope to walk, and I think Calvino does that in those short stories really well.
Thanks so much, Greg. I just want to thank you for talking with me today. It's really been a pleasure. And yeah, beautiful show you put together. And I hope all the listeners go to see it if they're hearing this in time before January 13th, 2024. Again, Greg, thanks so much for talking with me.
Oh, amazing. Thanks for taking some time. Appreciate it.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.